In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The reading of this Blessed Sunday, the second Sunday of the month of Kiah, as we just heard, is about the Annunciation that was brought by Archangel Gabriel to the Virgin Saint Mary, announcing to her and to us the incarnation of the Son of God and His coming to save and redeem mankind. At the end of the Annunciation, we find Saint Mary conclude what she heard by saying to the angel, "Let it be to me according to your word." Saint Mary is an example in many things, and one of the virtues that she taught us is how she was able to submit herself to the will of God. She could have said, "No, I can't. This is too much for me." At least she could have argued with the angel that this is going to cost her a lot and much trouble that she is going to go through, and maybe she is not ready to go for this. Great prophets like Moses and Jeremiah, they all debated before with God when He asked them to carry on a mission that He entrusted them with. But Saint Mary said to Him, "Let it be to me according to your word." There are certain things that we have to remind ourselves when it comes to the issue of the will of God. We all ask about the will of God. We want to know what God wants. But not all of us are ready to submit to the will of God. The first thing that we learn from Saint Mary is that before we submit to the will of God, we have also to practice and exercise how to submit to other people's authority. God, from the beginning, He set the world in order. Parents have authority over their children. We are requested to submit to the law of the land, to the government. Every one of us in his workplace, he has somebody he is accountable before. Unless I will learn how to submit, and this will be seeded in my heart from the beginning of my life, and I train myself that I listen and I obey, even if I do not agree, I cannot submit to the will of God in the same time. Saint Mary was an example in doing this. At the beginning, her parents gave her to the temple as a part of their vow. If they are going to be given a child, they are going to dedicate this child to serve in the temple. It is very hard for a young girl like her to find herself. She has nothing to do except to stay in the temple worshiping God. Her time is between maybe prayers and maybe day-to-day activity. But she submit herself to this. Not only so, when she was 13 years old, the elders, they agreed that they cannot keep a teen in the temple while her parents were passed away. So the decision was made, she should be betrothed and given in marriage to another person. They chose for her Saint Joseph the carpenter. He was a very old man by then. She did not object, she just agreed. She was trained because of her humility to submit to the authority of others and their economy. Nobody heard from her how she felt, but apparently from what we see, that she did not have much difficulty to submit herself to this. That's why when the angel came to her with the Annunciation, it was easy for her to tell him, "Let it be to me according to your word." How hard, and maybe we look at it as simple, but how hard it is for any one of us that we look up and we say to him, "Why will we mean it? Let it be to me according to your word." And obedience could have many forms. There is some kind of obedience that we call it the malicious obedience, where I show that I agree, but deeply inside, my heart is eating me up. I tell to my parents maybe yes, but deeply inside I curse them. I say to whoever is in charge of me, "I agree, I will do it," but deeply inside I wish I have the means to say no. This is not submission. This is not the obedience that Saint Mary gave us the example. Saint Paul says about how we should submit and obey, saying to the slaves who were working with their masters, he said to them, "Obey them, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart." Doing the will of God from my heart, as I said There is no way we can do this unless we acquire, or at least we try to acquire, the true humility by which I can say yes and I mean it, and I obey authority here on earth before I would submit to the will of God Himself. Another point we have to remind ourselves with about the will of God, that His good will is my salvation and the salvation of others. This is the one point in the agenda of God. There is nothing else. We stumble when we think that God is after the welfare of His people. And now when we hear the people preaching the gospel of health and wealth, actually this will make the people to stumble, because God did not promise us, if you obey me, I will make you healthy, or I will make you wealthy, and you will have all the means to have a fancy and a luxury kind of lifestyle. This is something we have to remind ourselves with. God only cares about our salvation. If through the way to our salvation, maybe God will allow us some comfort, it's part of His plan. If He will allow us to go through difficult time, it's still part of His kindness and love. Because at the end of the day, He is going to work with us, in order for us and those people around us to be saved. He is concerned about the final destination. If this final destination will go through some suffering, then let His will be done. Actually, in reality, there is no way for any person to make it to heaven unless we go into this difficult road, the narrow road. And with all the difficulty in it, we hear St. Paul says the same to the people in the book of Acts chapter 14. He says, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Let us remind ourselves always with this verse. We must. It's not optional. It's not something we can choose to avoid. Or if we are skillful enough, or we have the means, then we can go around the suffering. There is no way we can. It is one way to heaven. We must, through different or many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Saint Mary, when she gave birth to the Lord, she went with Him when He was 40 days old to the temple. She met with the priest there, Saint Simeon the Elder. Saint Simeon, when he met her, he prophesied about this boy, that through him salvation is going to be brought to mankind. And he told her something. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. Imagine this. A mom is bringing her son to the church, and the priest tells her, let me tell you something. A sword will pierce your soul. This is what was in wait for her. And true, this is what took place throughout all of her life. We find her fleeing from Herod to Egypt, going through a very difficult journey to a strange land and living there for more than 3 years, coming back and living in poverty and taking care of her only son while her husband or the man who was taking care of her passed away. Seeing her husband with all of the sufferings that he has to go through, all of this was part of the prophecy that a sword will pierce your own soul too. God is the one, yes, who allows us the suffering. And sometimes we stumble at this. Why? We look at Him and say, why, God, you do this? We are your people. We cry to you in order to spare us the pain. But God, when He allows us suffering, He is like a surgeon, a physician. He is not allowing this in vanity, but just watching us in pain, and then He is blocking His ears because I don't want to answer those people. No, this is not the case. He is working with us, and while He is doing this, sometimes He has to bruise and wound. As we hear this about Him in the book of Job, for He bruises, but He binds up. He wounds, but His hands make whole. Sometimes we look only at the first part of the surgery. Imagine that we look at a surgeon, has a knife in his hand, and he make a wound in the belly of a patient. And then we meditate upon this, and we say, how cruel is this? Why this man is doing this? He doesn't have mercy in his heart. But at the end, when we allow ourselves to wait and see the conclusion, then we can say that this is for his own good. Our life is like this surgery, and this is skillful and kind surgeon will do whatever it takes in order for us to be healed. But he is going to do this only for those people who submit and allow him to work. Imagine after we stretch our hands for him to work something, and then we start experiencing pain, then we withdraw and say, enough, you cannot touch me anymore. At this time, I'm endangering my own salvation. Yes, I have all the right to express that I'm in pain. We cry and weep and say that I am in pain. We are entitled to say so. But at the end of the day, what counts is how much we allow him to work. Because if we do this to the end, definitely we will be saved. The people of Israel went through a difficult journey in the wilderness for 40 years. He did not bring them out from the land of Egypt to humiliate them or to abandon or leave them alone, suffering maybe hunger and thirst and facing enemies that they do not know how much they are or how they can conquer them. But through this journey, he qualified them to enter the promised land. When I accept his will and what he's doing in my life, no matter how I feel the pain, he will work my salvation, with me my salvation. But true suffering is when I pursue my own will. And then a fruitless suffering will be waiting for me. I will suffer still, but this kind of suffering will be with no reward. I will suffer because I choose to do my own will. Look at the story of King Saul. This man, at the beginning, the Spirit of God led him, and upon him, the Spirit of God came, and this man led the people of Israel at the beginning according to God's will. Then envy took place in his heart. He started to look at David and thinking, this man is a rival, I should not leave him alive. And then his life was consumed into attempt to kill David. By then he was suffering, he was afflicted, and actually he was troubled all the time. But this kind of suffering was not according to God's will. He was doing something on his own. He has his own will. And another kind of suffering, unfortunately, took place in his life with no fruits at the end. Jonah, even at the beginning, when God asked him to go to Nineveh, he took himself and pursued his own will, took the ship to Tarshish. And he started suffering in the ship. Not only him, but he and the other people around him, the sailors. Sometimes we are like this Jonah, this man at the beginning, while we are fleeing from God, doing what we think will make us more happy, make what we think will make us more comfortable. By then, we will suffer and others will suffer as well. Unfortunately, this suffering has no purpose and has no reward. Now we know that the will of God for us all to be saved, but every one of us has his own plan. God walks with every one of us the journey to this common destination. In this journey, we have different paths. And whatever is going to happen on this road will unfold in due time. What do I mean by this? There are many turns on this road that we are walking upon. We do not see what's behind this turn. We see that the road will turn here. What's going to happen after, we do not know. And God's way is to keep things without telling us from the beginning until we are at the turn. By then, we will see him working and we will see him planning something else, and he will walk with us along this turn as well. He did the same with all of his people. God wanted to deliver the people of Israel from Egypt. The deliverer, the savior, was Moses. In order for God to give Moses the lead, Moses has to be taught with the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he should go to the wilderness and learn how to be a shepherd to take care of the sheep for 40 years. Then how the plan should be pursued. God allowed Pharaoh to issue a decree that all of the male children are going to be killed from the people of Israel. And then his mom to think that I need to save my son. She threw him in the water and he is picked by the daughter of Pharaoh. Then Moses reached the first destination, the palace of the daughter of Pharaoh. God did not bring the people of Israel to a meeting, an assembly, and tell them, here is the plan. Let me tell you how I'm going to do it. But things unfold step by step until we see Moses in a charge, taking the lead, taking the people of Israel out from Egypt. God did the same with St. Paul, with Elijah, with everyone. That's why St. Paul, in his epistle to the Romans, he cries with this doxology that we have always, always to remind ourselves with. When we stumble, looking at the road and seeing, this is a sharp turn. Where we are heading after this? He said to him, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out. How unsearchable are his judgments. We cannot bring explanation to whatever is taking place in our lives. Actually, we spend a lot of effort trying to do this, and we get tired from getting nothing. But at the end, we should conclude with the same. How unsearchable are his judgment and his path beyond tracing out. That's why when we pray every day and we say, your will be done, we should always think of all of these. We should always remember that his good will for all of us to be saved. Whatever he allows to happen is for a good purpose and for a good reason. Otherwise, if we do not believe this way, then we will think of ourselves that we are wiser than him. He doesn't know what he's doing. We stumble at him and some kind of enmity and a border or a boundary will be built between us and God. By doing this, we will get lost. And all of the means of comfort and consolation that God will try to extend to us will not find their way to our hearts. As we said, Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. We look to him and in trust and in love and say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.